Okay, so if you remember the point that we ended on yesterday was this disagreement between the Amoraim. Is there an Isser to be Mekani, to initiate a Saita process, right? That's dependent on whether you view Kineh as causing issues. So Kineh just means warning, right? Kineh is just one of the words Torah uses to say warning. Okay. Tanya. So you have a Braisa. Hiya Rebbe Meir Omer. Adam over avera b'seisir v'kadosh baruch hu machriz alav b'galosh ne'amar v'ravar alav ruach kin'ah. So, if a person commits a sin secretly in private, and the kadosh baruch hu will declare that he did so publicly. Okay? Because the pasuk says, v'yavor alav ruach kin'ah, the spirit of kin'ah passed over him. Right? And we'll see, that's obviously a pasuk from our parasha, from parasha Saita. And this lashon of avera vayavor alav is really that means declaration. So pshuto shel mikra doesn't mean declaration. Midrash, it means declaration, right? Shneimar v'yetzav Moshe vayaviru kol banachane, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave an order, right? And then they put a voice out. They made a declaration in the camp that nobody should bring any more donations to the Mishkan. This is when they had enough, right? Okay. Reish Lakish Amar, Ein Adam Ever Avera, Eleim Kein Nichnas Bo Ruach Doshe Neemar, Ish Kisi Ste Ishtoi, Tishte Kiv. So Reish Lakish said, nobody will commit a sin unless they, like, temporarily lost it. They just lost their minds. Right? How do we know? Because it says, Ish Kisi Ste Ishtoi. Right, so a man whose wife strays, right? But sister is spelt with a sin, so he's darshan instead of a samech, should usually be spelt with. So he's darshaning the sin in the shin, right? That's like tishte, so that's like shtus. Tana devi Rabbi Yishmael ni mahe mina teira aedecha besoita shiraglaim adavar shrei kinila venistera veidechad mida shehi temea. Why did the Torah say that we believe a single aid in the case of Sota? Because it looks a little bit more likely that something happened, right? Remember, everybody agrees that at least to prevent her from drinking the Sota water, we trust a single aid, right? Disagreement about the other two stages of the process, but everybody agrees that to prevent her from drinking the Sota water, we believe a single aid that it actually happened. Right? So, right, why did the Torah believe a single aid in the case of Sota? Because Ragoing is over, it makes sense, right? He was Mekane, he warned her. It already makes sense to us that it's actually happened. Right? It says, Ve'ed echad me'ida shehit me'a. So it says, is it really true that we believe a single aid in the case of Tzaita? Amar le Rav Papa Labaye, Barav Rav Papa said Labaye, Bahaki Ksiva, Kinui Basar Stira, Utu Vituma Hu Dichsiva. Right? No, we see that the Kinui is written after the Stira and after the Tuma. What is that talking about? Just a minute. Oh, it says, like, ve'ed enba, ve'arvar alav ruach kinah, right? This kinui, right, it says ve'ed enba, and the pasuk says, ve'arvar alav ruach kinah. So since the kinui is written after the single aid, right, then that sounds like a single aid is Naaman is believed that she was Mizana, that she slept with another man, even without the kinui.
Well, because it comes before.
Because it comes before, right? That's the question. So you say, Amar Leva Avar, Uchvar Avar. So it says, the answer was no. It says, Ve'avar Alav Ruach Kinah. The pasuk says that a ruach of kinah, a ruach of jealousy, a warning, whatever, passed over him, right? I mean, uchvar avar, it already happened. Doesn't mean it happened then after the ve'eden ba. It had already happened. That was the answer that Abaye gave to Rav Papa. Elameata ve'avar lachem kol chalutz. So it says, Achinami. So it says, but wait, we have another case. Ve'avar lachem kol chalutz. Where's that from? Where's that pasuk from?
It's Ruben God and Moshe.
Very good. Did you get that from the art scroll?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes. So that is the condition that was placed on Reuven, Gad, v'Chatzi Shev Menashe, if they were to get their inheritance on the eastern bank of the Jordan, the non-Eretz Yisrael proper, right, was that they would actually send armies to help the rest of Am Yisrael capture Eretz Yisrael on the west of the on the west bank of the Jordan, right? And so it says, V'avar lachem kol chalutz hachinami. The Poet of Gemara is asking, but wait, in that case, V'avar clearly does not. Would you say that there it means it's already happened? No, it must mean it's going to happen in the future. Right, so then here to which it also mean in the future. Then the answer is no. Hasam midichsev nichbishar etz lifnei Hashem ve'achar tashuvu mashma de lehaba. So it says no. There the pasuk says ve'nichbishar etz lifnei Hashem. Then the land will be conquered before God ve'achar tashuvu, and then you will return to your lands here. The implication is that we're talking about something because of Ve'achar Tashuvu, we're talking about something that will happen in the future, because Ve'achar Tashuvu is written in future tense, right? Elahacha, but why would we say that that's not the case here? Why would we say this case? It sounds more like it's already happened. Elahacha yisakadayta ki dichzibi ve'avar basar tum avos dira ki nui lamali. It says, here, in this case, if she's already been misyachedes, and some aid has already told us what happened, right, and we'd believe them, then why do you need a kinui? What does a kinui achieve? He anyway has to divorce her. Right? So what have we achieved here?
So logically,
the kinui has to be first. But there, logically, it can't be that a va'avar means past tense, it must mean future tense. Okay. Tandavi Rabbi Yishmael. So we have another statement from the Beis Midrash, Rabbi Yishmael. Ein adam mekane l'shteilem ken nichnasa beruach. So a person is not mekane, doesn't give this warning to his to his wife, unless a ruach, some sort of spirit, enters him. What does that mean? Shneimar v'arvar alav ruach kina v'kineis ishtoi, because the pasuk says v'arvar alav ruach kina, this ruach kina passed over him v'kineis ishtoi, and then he was mekane her. My ruach. What's ruach here? What's the spirit that we're talking about? Or wind or whatever. Rabbanan Amri ruach tumah. Rabbanan say, no, ruach of tumah. Right? It means that he's not such a good person either. A person's not mekane his wife unless he's not so kosher himself, and so that's why he's suspecting her. Ravashi ama ruach tahara. So Ravashi says the opposite. No, ruach tahara. He's very afraid that she would have done this, and he doesn't want to have this snake in his house, this viper, and therefore he's being is particularly zealous in dealing with the problem. Right. And it makes more sense to say like the one who said Ruach Tara, Ravashi, right? The sign is we have in Brisa v'kineis ishtoi rishus divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva amar cheva. So it says, because we have a Brisa that says the following, if v'kineis ishtoi, the pasuk says, then he was mekane, he warned her, right? Rishus. Rabbi Yishmael says, that's rishus, you can do it. And if you want to, you can initiate the Sota process. You have that ability. But it's not that you have to. You don't have to. In fact, we've even seen some opinions that you probably shouldn't. Right? And Rabbi Akiva, Omer Chayva. No, Rabbi Akiva says it's really an obligation. If you really, really, really think something's going on, you're obligated to do this. Right? So then it makes much more sense that it's Ruach Tara than Ruach Tumah, because why would you be obligated to do something come from Ruach Tumah? That makes no sense. Right? I amras bishlama ruach tara shapir. Ela I amras ruach tumah reshus vechayva leyule leinish ruach tumah ben nafshei. So it says, if you say ruach tara, this makes perfect sense. But if you say ruach tumah, is it a reshus or an obligation to bring the spirit of tumah into yourself? No, that makes no sense. Right, that's usher. It's obviously usher to be metame yourself, whatever that means. Right, it must be that it's Ruach Tara. That must be what Rabbi Yishmael meant. Gufa, we have, we're going to repeat this statement. V'kinez ishtoi reshus divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva imer cheva. So now we're going to discuss this more. La yitama reshus divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva imer cheva.
So why la... we have not brought the above idea that it's asur to, that idea that it's asur, that kina is asur? Do we not say that? Can we not use it as a proof for...
I don't know. I also thought of it. I'm not certain. I really don't know. It's a good question. The answer might be that to do it gratuitously or something is aser, but if you know you have really, really, really good reason, then that's different or something like that. I'm not sure. Okay, so lah yitama. Now we're bringing another case. What's the halacha of lah yitama? Where's it from? Lah yitama. Which parsha? Parsha's Emor, right? For a coin that he's allowed to become tummy to his sister, right? So it says lah yitama. If she become, meaning if she dies, normally a coin can't come near a dead body. One of the Zayin, if the person who died is one of the Zayin Krovim, then the Kohen can, or actually should, right? And that's exactly the subject of this statement. So this is where we derive this halacha from. Rishus divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael said it's optional, meaning it's not that a Kohen is obligated to be Matame himself, but if he does, then it's okay. He in this particular case, he did not transgress the prohibition on Kohen becoming Tamei Lemes. And so Rabbi Kiva Merchava, no, Rabbi Kiva says it's obligatory. It's not just that if in such a case the Kohen was mitame, he would not have transgressed a prohibition. It's that if he did it, he would actually, it's a mitzvah, he has to do it. Right? A Kohen has to become tame to his relatives. So the din that you don't have to free an Evaknani, that you can keep them forever and they can work for you forever. At the end of the din that you don't have to free an Evaknani, right? So Rabbi Yishmael says means you don't have to free them, but you can if you want to. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to free. You are forbidden from freeing them. You're not allowed to free an Evaknani. There are cases where it's mutter, but begadol. Right? So Rav Papa said to Abaye, and there are some people said no, it was Rav Misharshia who said it to Rava. Leima Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva called Harukula Achi Pligi de Maramar Shus and Maramar Cheva. Says maybe Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva had this argument everywhere in Torah, everywhere these, I don't know how you distinguish these phrases, but there's these phrases that are sort of ambiguous. So Rabbi Yishmael said they're optional. The Torah gave you permission to do something, but didn't say it was obligatory. Right? And Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's obligatory. Maybe this is a general disagreement. So it says, Amar Le Hacha Bekroi Pligi. No, it says... So it says, no, they were actually disagreeing about how to read these particular psukim. It's wrong. Either Rava or Abaye respond, no, they were disagreeing about how to read these specific psukim. There is no general disagreement here. Right? There are three specific local disagreements. V'kineyes ishtoi rishos divrei Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Kiva Mechava. My time at the Rabbi Yishmael, why does Rabbi Yishmael say it's a rishus? Why Rabbi Yishmael say it? It's not obligatory. Savar laki haitana desanya Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov ben Merkel pe shamra toira leisis esachich bilacha yachul luka goin zu talner vavar alav ruah kinov en kine es ishtar. So Rabbi Yishmael says, Rabbi Yishmael really agrees with the statement from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because he says the Torah said you should never hate your fellow Jew. You shouldn't do hateful things to your fellow Jew. So in that case, you would have thought that this whole procedure is obviously aser. I know the Torah allowed it, but it doesn't make sense that if everywhere else doing this sort of thing is aser, then here it's an obligation. No, it's mutter. The Torah created a dispensation. Right?
Can you not use that in other places in the Torah?
I don't understand the question.
Like, with regard to, let's say, the death penalty. Murder, killing somebody, generally you shouldn't do that, that's hateful actions, that's an issue. So then, surely, according to this logic, it should be a reshut, not a chava.
And in l'chara, you'll have to judge it contextually. Right? It's wholly counterintuitive to suppose that the death penalty is merely optional.
Yeah,
Here, you can see it going either way, no?
Yeah.
So Rabbi Akiva, kinui acharina ksiv. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, the word kinui, like it was written more than once. So that was came precisely to teach us that it is, in fact, obligatory. So for Rabbi Shmuel, Aidi devai lemichta vehi nitma vehi lo nitma sivnami vekine es ishtoi. So that's no. Rabbi Shmuel says since it wanted to write again vehi nitma vehi lo nitma, right? It wanted to rediscuss that. So then it also rewrote the words vekine es ishtoi. But it's not that Vikinesa Shtoy came to teach us an extra halacha, and in fact it's obligatory for a man to warn his wife in this particular case not to cheat on him. No, it's just that for the sake of a complete sentence, the Torah added in some extra words, basically. Right? An unusual statement. So Yalich Desani, the very Shmuel, the Tan, the very Shmuel, Kol HaParashas, Nishenem Ram, Nishmeis, Loi Nishmeis, Ela Bishvil, the Davar Shenitzcha Deish Ba. So it says, and this is similar to a statement from Rabbi Yishmael, because Rabbi Yishmael said that the entire parsha that this entire second bit of the parsha was written for one thing, for one extra halacha that was taught in it, not so you would dash in every single word. Right, so we have confirmation that Rabbi Shmuel does in fact say this, so that makes sense that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are arguing locally here. Rabbi Akiva thinks that the second time we say the Kinesi Shtoi comes to make it obligatory, and Rabbi Shmuel says no, this is one of the rare cases where the Torah just included extra words. Okay. Now we're going to talk about the case of the coin becoming Tomei to his relatives. Rishus, Divrei Yishmael, Rabbi Kibra, Merkava. So, similar focus, Rabbi Yishmael says it's permissible, but a coin doesn't have to do it. Rabbi Kibra says, no, it's obligatory. My time is Rabbi Yishmael. Why does Rabbi Kishmael say this? Aydich Sivem, Morala Koanim, Ne'aroin, Vamartal, Emel, Nemishalit, Namavama, Vizdarichal, Mikhtav, Laitama. So, the same basic argument, right? Since we have said it's Osir to ever become Tamil in Mace, we then come along and say, oh, but in this case it's Mutter. It's counterintuitive to say, but in this case it's obligatory. No, it's enough to say it's in this case it's Mutter. You want to have the smaller Chiddush, right? Rabbi Akiva, Michi im She'er L'She'eroi Nafka Lahitama Lamali L'Cheva. So, Rabbi Akiva says, no, we would learn that din, that it is mutter to become Tamei Lanais in such a situation when a close relative died, from the words, Kim L'Shei Re'e Karei Ve'lav Le'imoy La'aviv Le'imnoy Le'itoy U'Le'achiv. Right? From there, we could have learned the halacha that it's mutter for him to become Tamei in the case of one of the Zayim Krovim. How do we know it's obligatory? Because the Torah then comes and says U'Le'achasoy La'hitama. La'achasoy Basulah, sorry, La'hitama. Right? He should become Tamei. Right? The fact that it repeats the same basic idea, admittedly about a different family member, but the same than what was mentioned previously, but the same basic idea teaches us that it is in fact obligatory for a coin to become Tamei Lameis in such a situation. V'Rabbi Yishmael, Lahitama, V'ein mitamei le'ivareya. So it says, Rabbi Yishmael then says, what does Rabbi Yishmael do with the din of Lahitama? He says, Lahitama, he should become Tamei for her, or he could, because he is permitted to become Tamei for her. But he has not become permitted to become Tommy for one of her limbs. Meaning, if she lost a limb before she died, he is not allowed to become Tommy Lameis to bury that limb. He's only allowed to become Tommy Lameis to bury her. Right? Rabbi Akiva, imkein lichtoy rachman Allah velishtoik itama lama lish mamina. So it says, and Rabbi Akiva, the scripture said, lah. Why does it say lahitama? So lahitama, the yitama is an extra word there which was unnecessary, would have understood without it. So yitama comes to teach us a second din that he is obligated to become tamei to the zayin krovim. Okay? Rabbi Yishmael, I did a chasav la, sev a chasav nami yitama. And Rabbi Yishmael thinks, since we already said the word la, we said yitama, because maybe we would have understood it technically, but it's a funny sentence. Right? So to make it a full sentence, to make the Torah not sound ridiculous, the extra word was added. Similar to what we said previously. Right? Lich desani devei Rabbi Yishmael, desani devei Rabbi Yishmael, kol parasha shenem rav, nishmei yisla yishnei yisla adishol dav rashni yitzchadish ba. So any time you have, and this is like a brisa, it was like the statement that we just read, that any time you have a parasha which was repeated, it is only repeated for the single halacha that is repeated, that is taught, which is new. Right? It's not repeated to darshan every single word. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that.
And what would Rabbi Akiva say about the limbs?
No, he agrees that the coin can't be tummy, but can't become tummy for the limb. He just says it's lach. Then the Torah just said lach. Why does the Torah say lach itama?
To teach about the limbs.
To teach us two dinim: one about the limbs, and one that he's obligated. If one of his krovim dies, he's obligated to become tummy to them.
The way he understands the obligation is from the fact that it's repeated.
The word yitama is there, yeah. The whole din is repeated, but it could have just said lah if it was just for the limb. And he said lah yitama means it's repeating for two dinim, right? One, that he can't become tummy in limbs, and two, that he has to become tummy if one of his craving dies.
Okay.
Shkayech, we will continue.